Surprise, there are two of us. When I was telling Emmanuel what we were going to try to do today, he goes, man, that kind of sounds like good cop, bad cop, good preacher, bad preacher. And I guess if I'm the second guy up and we go sequentially there, then that makes me the bad preacher, right? And I have to be honest with you, before I get started, I do have a challenging aspect to the message today. Maybe that's just because that's in my nature, but, you know, I want to carry on with what Luke talked about being willing to give everything. So much of our everything is in our work, right? The definition of work is to exert effort or exertion or effort directed to produce or accomplish something. So anytime we put effort or exertion and we direct it towards producing or accomplishing something, that's work. So that means work, in the context of how I'm going to discuss it today, is really a broad topic. It really covers everything from where you go to pull your paycheck, if that's what you still do, to your volunteerism, to those of us that work in the household, to even the work we do around our house, to the things we do for our neighbors and our friends. See, we were created to be laborers. We were created to be workers. And so much of this being all in and be willing to just give everything to attain the treasure of heaven really focuses and revolves around us being willing to totally dedicate our work, our life's work, who we really are, to God. We are so often identified by our career, right? One of the first things somebody ever asks you is, hey, what do you do? You know, it's funny that Luke was kind of talking about his dad being a jack of all trades. It's ironic the apple doesn't fall far from the tree because, you know, Luke's over here is a pastor here on staff, and he's a physicist, or I mean, he has a couple degrees in physics. I don't actually know what that makes you. And so it's kind of, you know, he's talking about, you know, hey, insurance salesman, preacher. Well, where does youth minister and physicist fall together? You know, that's pretty odd too, Luke. So our life work is often how we're identified. And so could we be identified as being truly all-in followers of Jesus Christ? Or is it really not so important to us? Is that treasure that Luke referred to really not as valuable as we might give lip service to? 65% of Americans say they are dissatisfied with their job, where they go when they pull their paycheck. 65% of Americans reported in a survey they're unhappy. That's like two-thirds of our entire culture wake up every morning and probably moan at the thought of going to work. Now, for some people, you get excited about work. Like, man, work, I love my job. I love to do. I love to produce. But for so many people, it's kind of just this, it's just what I got to do to either keep up or try to get ahead. How can we reframe work into the context of, man, it's not about going and doing a job and making God fit into it, but take that job and say, man, it's all about God, and how can I make my life's work about serving Him and honoring Him? When we do our job well, we may be answering somebody else's prayer. God created us to be workers. He Himself is a worker. I think creating the universe qualifies as some pretty hardy work. What do you think? Think that qualifies? I mean, He created us. He created the universe, our earth. He created everything. And it's beautiful and perfect design. It always seems so tragic to me that people want to think that science is in such conflict with God, when science is just the way God decided to make His creation. He decided to have order and organization. It's crazy to me that God wanted to create me in His same image. In the same way that He is a worker, the scripture says that not only did He work, but He rested for a bit, and then He decided to continue to working. He continues to judge. He continues to love. He continues to protect. He continues to make His Holy Spirit involved in our lives. He sent His Son. Jesus Himself said that God is working and Christ is working even still on our behalf. And yet, He loved me enough to form me and create me into an image like His that He designed me to work to. In the first parts of Genesis, in Genesis 1:26, God told us that we were to have dominion over creation. Genesis 2:15 says this, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." Now, this is well before the fall. Even before the fall of man, before man chose to be against God, God still created him to be a worker. Does our work become more difficult and more of a toil after we chose to be against Him? Absolutely. But He designed us from the get-go to be workers. Paul and Peter and James all talk in the New Testament about how valuable work is. You look through the Old Testament about God's chosen people and the ones that God chose to be leaders, man, they were workers. James 2:14-18. James, always a tough book to read if you're a believer, because you know you're going to be convicted by it. This is what James says. He says, What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but knows nothing about their physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, If it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Skip down to verse 26 and he kind of sums it all up. James did with this verse. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Paul's words in Galatians 6:9 say, let us not become weary of doing good. Let us not become weary of doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's to us, church. Not that we would get a harvest for ourselves, but that we would give a harvest of the ability to make influence for the kingdom of God and our community. Jesus himself, of course, told the disciples and anybody who would choose to come to follow him that there would be work involved, that the actions of a believer, the actions of a disciple, were to make a life of loving and caring for and trying to make a difference in your neighbor's life. The two greatest commandments, to love God, an action, a work, and to love your neighbor, an action, and a work, a lifetime's work. There are some definite components to why work matters, why it matters that we work, and in every part of our work that we do a good job. First, it's because it provides, it's a provision. Certainly when we go to a place where we collect a paycheck, that's provision for our families, but it's also, like Luke mentioned earlier, it's the ability for us to give to other people. Do you ever look at that paycheck and say, man, this is my blessing, but how can I bless others? Gives us the ability to tithe, to make our church into an organization in God's name that can go out and do amazing things, to be able to bless a neighbor, to be able to give to somebody in need. And I hear your stories all the time, and I know from behind the scenes all the giving that people in this room do, and it's amazing. God chose work to be something that produces something. And in the same way, there is service, and like the video talked about rescue, what greater way for the church to show their love to the community by serving? Last Sunday morning, one of our small groups went and took a whole bunch of breakfast stuff to the nursing home staff across the street at Park Manor. Not because they had to, just because they wanted to provide breakfast at Shift Chain and show they love. Many of you donated to that same nursing home some goods so they could have a fundraiser and a bake sale. These are just little things that we do. Did it not show love to our community when we produced kids camps of a variety of different ways? Did it not show love to our community when we did vacation Bible school? Man, we have the ability to show love through the services we provide here, but you also get that opportunity in your job. Whether you're the guy farming the wheat or putting the loaf of bread in its plastic container on there, in daily activity, you come into contact with people and get to make influence and positive impact on their lives. And there are those times when it's even more than just showing love. It's your opportunity to come to the rescue and be the tool in God's answered prayer. It's awesome that a believer in Christ would probably take that very step, because I know many of you in this room, and when you saw a need and when you saw somebody in desperation, you would put your arm around them and say, yeah, I'm here to do a job, but I want to come alongside you and love you as well. I did not plan to do this, but I will just tell you that I know that two people in this room, it kind of comes together in this for me. We often want to pray. How many of you have had a health issue where you want to pray, you're going into a surgery or something, and you want to pray for those people that are going to take care of you, right? Or for your loved one. We do that. That's often, man. God, be with the doctors and the nurses and the therapist, and please the anesthesiologist, because I'd like to wake up. All those things. We want to pray for them. And you got to think there's another side to that story, because there's a doctor or a nurse or anesthesiologist or therapist that if they're a believer in particular, man, hopefully they're having that same prayer, that they do a good job. And so those things couple together and there's a meet right there. There's a rescue. And in this room right now, I know that there's a guy that just came up and preached to you, that he goes to MD Anderson Hospital and he works hard, because I know his heart, and he makes sure those machines are geared right, that they're tuned just perfect, because I know there's somebody in this room that has to depend upon those machines to be geared just perfect. You see how it works? What if we didn't give our full effort? What if we didn't take the opportunity to be a rescue for somebody? There are always opportunities. I don't want to make this about me, but I just want to tell you, just in the simplest form this week, a friend of mine who's been married for 38 years was able to come to me and talk to me because she found out that her husband, after 38 years, had a 2-year affair, and she was devastated. She told me how she walked out of the house when she found out with every intention of walking in front of the first car she saw when she got to the highway, but something kept her from doing it. Every time we step foot in a place, there's a chance that we can be a rescue for somebody, that we can be a joy and a hope for somebody. But most important about our work, despite all that ability to love the community and and all the ability to just provide in different ways physically or substantively. The most important part of doing worship good and doing good works is the fact that it worships our God. When we fulfill the design God created for us to be workers, which is what He created us to be, we honor Him with our obedience. And anytime we honor God with our obedience, we honor Him with our praise and with our worship. We simply do the job as best we can. It's a powerful thing to step into the workplace or step into the volunteer field or step into just your neighbor's house to help them with some yard work and to say to yourself that we're going to do the best job possible. There's a saying in our house. Well, let's just be honest. It's my saying in our house that anything worth doing is worth overdoing. It gets really annoying to them. The other one is perfect practice makes perfect, not practice. But I always say that, and man, I believe that with all my heart, and I fall woefully short of that so much of the time. I know I don't always give my best, but I want to strive to. Whether you're doing homework or an athletic event, whether you're going to mow the neighbor's yard, you do your best job, because the most important aspect of that is that's worship for God. When we're on mission trip, Jolene and Raul and Lily, they can tell you there is no reason we should have got accomplished what we got accomplished in 3 days. We are not contractors. I think we kind of proved that with some of our work. Hopefully I didn't discover that till after we left. We are not contractors. There's no reason an old man like Leo should have been able to stay out there for 3 days in a row in the hot sun holding that big heavy power washer doing what he did. The only one actually qualified to be there and to do that kind of work was Raul. And he kept getting dumped on with more and more stuff. Jolene's comment was, at the end of the day, we kind of talked and wrapped things up and had a prayer time and talked about our journal. She said her first entry in the journal was, "What does Lance have against me?" Because I stuck her in the sun all day long painting. And you know what? Never complained once, except that time. And that was only to be fun. It made a difference to the community. It stood out. And you know who was honored? Not us. I don't even know most of our names. God was honored. We have lofty goals for next summer. We don't want to just double the number of kid camps we did. We want to triple them. We want to have 6. And if possible, we want to take some of the 6 and we want to take them to a couple apartment complexes. But here's the delta, so to speak, of whether we can do that or not. It's manpower. It's work power. Who will give up some vacation time? Who will give up some energy? Who will make it a focus to say, man, I'm going to come in and do those camps? And let me tell you something. The people that did the camps, they were done well. Quality. Like we should do things. Who will come alongside and continue that so we can continue to make a difference on a bigger and broader scale, so we can take them outside of these walls into other places? All we lack is the desire to work hard and to honor God. A couple last things, kind of coupling that, is making sure that we have excellence and commitment when we work. And our outside work, but I want to bring it in now to the work that we do here in the house of God. Commitment and excellence are kind of fleeting attributes in society today, particularly commitment. In the prosperity of this amazing nation, there are options for us beyond what we ever possibly could have imagined. It takes true effort to zero in on what's truly important, what your treasure truly is. And it's really time that we just cut to the chase and have an authentic conversation with ourselves and God, not with ourselves and our neighbor, not with ourselves and other Christians. I'm talking, man, me and God, and say, do I really think that that treasure in the ground that I need to come for is worth me selling out everything else and giving it all to you to capture it? Do I care about the people outside these walls enough to just show them love in a way that they may not see it in other times and other ways? Because that costs something. Christ said there's always a cost involved, that you must count the cost, is what he said. Whether you're building a tower or going off to war, you count the cost. The guy in the field counted the cost, and it was going to be everything. Would you give your everything in your work's desire? Last week, we had 4 people to take care of our children in the children's area. 4. Some of you can help there. We have more camps that we want to do. We have so many places that you can serve within these walls, but it goes beyond that to taking the opportunity with whatever you are already doing. And so many of you do so much already. I understand that. But making sure that you give the full effort and the full preparation. Check this out as a simple balance. If Christ was your supervisor, would you stay hired on, right? If Christ was your supervisor, would you have a job in 6 weeks? Or, you know, you get that kind of a, hey, we're going to give you a 6-month kind of run of things, and this is your probationary period. Man, let's be honest. Based upon our attendance and our commitment and our preparation versus what we would do in the workplace, we may not have a job after 6 weeks. And I say that to challenge myself most of all. Can I give a complete full effort all the time? Because if God says it's worth doing, it's worth overdoing. Not because my might is going to make it great, it's just my willingness and my best. He only asks for our best. He doesn't ask for our perfection because he knows that's his gig. He's the perfectionist, we're not. We just attempt it and take whatever we can, whatever we have to offer, and we say, take it, God, and you make it awesome, because that's the only person that can. Two final points. One is that we have to do this within humility. We're not to judge other people. We can encourage, we can inspire, we can try to set some standards, but we don't judge. It's not our gig. God judges and convicts people's hearts. That's it. In our own humility, can we be like Christ? Philippians 2, starting in verse 3, I'll read here. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Actually, we could just stop there and like leave and walk out the door. But do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. And your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider himself equal with God, something to be used to his own advantage. That's amazing. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the most brutal death, even death on the cross. Don't be that person that makes it about themselves. In humility, serve, man. You know what? We're a big collection of imperfect people here. We love an awesome and perfect God, though. And things aren't going to go smooth, and they're not always going to go the way we plan them to or the way we would like them to. But God's in control, and he's going to take our collective attempt at our best and make it into something magnificent. And this community will be transformed every year on a bigger and bigger scale if we keep giving more and more. Finally, make sure that you serve with in your shape. One of the tragic things, and I just got the message today, is I have a close friend here, and she was so wanting to serve, such an admirable thing. Man, I want to work. I want to serve. I feel good. And she was willing to come serve in an area that was not her shape. And I know that because she had already shared with me and Pastor Kevin what her designs and intentions were to do. And luckily, through a conversation, she knew that wasn't her shape. And so she's going to be serving now within her shape. And what shape? That's kind of the philosophy we have here at this church, is how you decide what to do in the kingdom of God. And really what you should try to do in the kingdom of God in your daily work outside of church. It's find what your spiritual gift is. Come see me or somebody else. We can take you through a survey and just talk about it. Everybody that's a believer in Jesus Christ, scripture says, received a spiritual gift, some sort of spiritual skill that you have. We look at our heart issues, those things we already love and are passionate about. We take our abilities, the things that we have skill and vocation at, wrap it around our personality and the experiences, both good and bad, that we've had in life, and we find something that fits who God designed us to be, not what man wants us to be. And when you do that and give your best, eternity has changed because God's behind it. Man, this church does good work. There's no question about it. We are in an incredibly awesome area with potential to do even more work, to make an even bigger difference, to make an even bigger impact. So don't walk away thinking, man, we haven't done something great. We have done some things great, but God says, man, are you ready for some more? Because I'll give you a bigger portion if you're willing to cut into it.
Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to speak with someone about how you can apply this week's message to your life, please call the church office at 281-922-5520. You can find more information about East Haven by visiting easthavenchurch.org. Remember, as you go, to live as God's people, telling God's story, building God's kingdom.